forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent.
We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best men. With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan. It's a big plan. It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what we need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It is Eric, Mike, and Kylan joining you. And yes, I did say that right. Eric is back. So, not knowing where Fury sent him, I don't know.
Well, Mike, that's on a need-to-know basis only, and quite frankly, you don't need to know.
You are not authorized to access this area.
Darn right.
So, crazy week. I think definitely next week we'll be doing a San Diego Comic-Con recap, because there's going to be quite a bit, because at the time of recording, day one's only happened, and
yeah.
Day one's been fairly quiet for Marvel. Marvel, I think most of the action's happening Friday and Saturday. So by the time this re-airs, and you guys are listening to it, the show's going to be over, or almost over, so we will recap it next week. But it still doesn't mean there hasn't been news. And
yeah, there's been some.
I think one of the best stories... Eric, I think I'll let you start off with it.
Okay, well, I don't know if you've heard anything about this or not, there is supposed to be a DC comic book movie coming out not too long from now.
Really?
Has a couple of supposedly big characters in it. And so somebody asked Disney CEO Bob Iger, and of course, if you've been living under a rock since 2009, hey, Disney owns Marvel. You probably didn't realize it because, you know, the Avengers didn't have any singing warthogs or fairy tale princesses in it, but hey, that's the case.
It's going to be the same way with Star Wars too, so.
Yeah. So, you know, rest your sphincters and have a Coke and a smile. But,
Oh, love that.
But Iger was asked by a journalist at the Allen & Company media conference in Sun Valley, Idaho. They asked him about, you know, are you worried about Warner Brothers kicking off a slate of roughly two movies a year with DC characters? And he said, quote, "We're Marvel. We've done a great job of building the Marvel brand, which we think when it's on a movie really makes a difference. We are seeing signs of that." He says, "We like the Marvel slate that we have coming up. We think they're unique in many ways, and we have no concerns whatsoever." And of course, he's talking about the competition. So, he's not worried, and I don't think he really has any reason to be.
No.
Yes, the Dark Knight trilogy did really well at the box office.
I'll give you one and two. That last one? Yeah, no.
Well, overall, the trilogy did pretty well.
Right.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, Green Lantern, did it? Not really.
No.
Man of Steel?
Man of Steel did well. Superman Returns flopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, but really? you can't hold Green Lantern, though, against Ryan Reynolds. I mean, he was just hired.
I didn't say.
I know, it was a bad script. It was a bad script.
Well, you know, this may be off a debate, but so be it. I feel like that you're almost talking about two different types of comic fans. I'm talking to Ken over at Geek Watch One. Ken is a hardcore DC fan. He takes issue with Marvel because of the way Marvel portrays its characters and how Marvel is more grounded in the real world. And he likes DC because you know, you have a character like Superman, who's a Boy Scout and ultimate good, and he said he feels like DC is more about the escape. And so I think that it seems like that may be the heart of the reason why you have some people who are just completely DC and they don't get Marvel, and there are people who are Marvel who maybe, but generally kind of stay in the Marvel camp. I think that you're talking about two different types of fans at the end of the day, I think, anyway.
To me, what I think, what I don't like about the way DC movies are portrayed, and I am including, I'm including Man of Steel, I'm including The Dark Knight, I'm including Watchmen and Superman Returns, Man of Steel, they seem to have one mode that is dark and edgy.
Yes.
That works when you're doing Watchmen. It works when you're doing Batman. And I'm guessing it does kind of work when you're doing Arrow.
Right.
But not all of your comic book characters in the DC universe really flourish under that dark and edgy treatment.
Right.
No.
Wonder Woman is not a dark and edgy character.
No, she's not.
Aquaman, not really a dark and gritty character. He could be. He can be. But not for the most part. There are just too many characters out there who aren't dark and edgy, and trying to force them into that mode really, I think, in the long run hurts DC.
Hello? Okay. Okay. Now, the thing about Marvel versus DC movies, I think, is that, well, like, it seems like Marvel knows how to interject humor in a realistic way. I mean, when you look at Avengers Age of Ultron, especially the opening scene, you know, when they're attacking the Hydra base in a location, but they have sense of humor. They're able to, you know, and sort of use it as a coping mechanism. I don't know if it's just that Marvel knows how to get quality writers who are able to, you know, take that from the page and bring it to the screen, but for some reason when DC does it, it comes across as campy, in my opinion. Now, I don't understand why, but it seems like it does. And so it's like you said, Eric, they have one mode, and the one mode that they can go with is dark and edgy, because if they try to interject humor, it goes all the way campy, as opposed to that realistic, that the reality level of humor that if you're in a bad situation, you can be sarcastic about it, but right. Use it as a coping mechanism, you know?
Well, I think, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, you know, with Marvel, it seems like with the movies, you're getting what you see in the comics. With DC,
yes.
What you get with the movies is not what you see in the comics. And it's almost like the comics have to backtrack to now reflect what's happened in the movies. To me, the last time the movies reflected the comics to some extent was the Michael Keaton, Tim Burton era with the two Batman movies that Keaton and Burton did. I think that's when it kind of pretty much stayed similar to the comics.
Well, now, even the Michael Keaton Batman was dark. And it was a little edgy, but there was humor involved.
Right.
I think what happens is when you have like the dark and edgy movies and then you try to put humor in there, it just feels out of place.
Right.
And so whereas when you get with Marvel, okay, they're going to be brighter. They're not going to be where they take themselves 100% so uber seriously. There will be dark moments. There will be light moments. There will be funny moments. But you'll get it all over the course of a movie. So the humor can be subtle. The humor can be really, you know, over the top. Like, say, where Iron Man is, you know, Tony Stark is learning to fly.
Right.
I mean, you try to put that sequence, especially like with his old industrial robot with the fire extinguisher, you know, just hosing him down after he crashes on top of the expensive sports car. You try to put that in a DC movie, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. Yeah. But since it's in the Marvel movie, where you have dark moments, you have light moments, you have funny moments, it's just part of the movie.
It feels natural.
Yes.
I mean, how many times have we you're trying something new. You're learning a new skill. You're doing something in the kitchen or whatever. And you end up doing something that hurting yourself. But then you go back, you look back, and you can laugh at it. It's funny.
Yeah.
And I remember, I know my wife and I remember sitting there, and, there's, he's all in the armor, and then it's boom, wall, boom, card, and I am dying laughing. It wouldn't take me out of the movie either.
Right.
It didn't take me out of the world, where it's like you said, like, for some reason, if it's super dark and edgy and then you throw the humor in, it pulls you completely out of it,
And again, let's not take this down the road of, like, what so many fanboys do. It's like, well, Marvel makes good movies, DC sucks, that sort of thing. It's not.
Right.
There are good movies on Marvel side. There are good movies on DC side. There are two different animals. And I think that's really, and really the way I interpret Bob Iger's comments is like, our focus is on us. How can we improve to the standard we want to be? It's not, we're not looking over our shoulder, and nor should they.
No.
It's like when you see, when you have, like, you talk to a professional sports coach, like a Jerry Jones or a Nick Saban or someone like that. Are you worried about this competition? They say, we're worried on us. We're focused on us. We're focused on our being able to execute our game plan. That's exactly what he's saying.
Yep.
He's saying, we are focused on our game plan, doing our brand, doing what we do works, we're good at what we do, so we should not worry about what somebody else is doing.
Day 11, test 37, configuration 2.0. For lack of a better option, dummy is still on fire safety. If you douse me again and I'm not on fire, I'm donating you to City College.
See? Exactly.
I'll pull one out sometime.
And casting is another strength of Marvel.
Yeah.
Yes.
You try to, it's like you have, Chris Pratt as Star-Lord. You have Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. You have Chris Evans as Captain America. These people aren't just playing the role. They are the role.
Right.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Well, the other one kills me too is to compare DC to Marvel, or Marvel to DC, is another prime example, and it's gonna and it's happening. Star Wars and Star Trek. Just because they take place in the same genre doesn't mean that you can compare one to the other. Oh, this one's better. Of course, people are going to think one's better than the other. I think what the three of us, I mean, we're all in that generation. We had Star Trek first before Star Wars even came around. So,
yeah.
I appreciate both.
Yeah,
I do. Here's another thing for you. And Mike, I know you see this. Among the Disney fan base, you hear the, which is better, Disneyland or Disney World?
Well, there's no question.
And you have people who, you have people get ugly in that discussion.
Oh yeah. They do.
But it's like, okay, it's almost like arguing what's your favorite flavor of ice cream. You have chocolate lovers over here, you got vanilla lovers over here, and it's like, never the twain shall meet, but they're both good.
You got your chocolate in my peanut butter. Well, you got your peanut butter on my chocolate.
Blasphemy!
But then I love that commercial.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, and of course, Iger, being the head of Disney, he's not going to admit it even if he were. He's not going to admit being worried about DC.
No.
I don't. That'd be like asking him, are you worried about Fox or Sony with their Marvel movies? Well, you can't be.
I mean, there's no reason to be.
No. I mean, Fox is going to flop on its own with Fantastic Flop. So, and I think that's going to be the thing that's going to hurt Fox the most. So, anyhow, since we did bring up Sony, I think Kylan's got some Spider-Man news for us.
Yeah, this is something that came out yesterday, I believe. On ComicsAlliance.com has a story about the Spider-Man reboot is looking at Marissa Tomei for Aunt May.
Tomei Aunt May.
Which,
it's all because of the Utes.
I'm liking. Is that what it is?
With my cousin.
I you know what? I am.
You know what they need to do with this?
Hire
Joe Pesci to be Uncle Ben.
Uh-oh. Oh, really? Did you just? Oh, I
you gotta do it. Gotta do it.
You know. So, these Utes to me.
Utes. So, see, you know what? If I have weird dreams tonight because of Joe Pesci as Uncle Ben, I'm blaming you, Eric. I'm blaming you.
If he just comes on the screen and goes, okay. With great power comes great responsibility.
I didn't want you to say that.
Comes great responsibility.
Oh, my brain. I was going to go with the whole hot factor of, you know, it's nice to see a hot Aunt May, because I was feeling a little weird after watching Ultimate Spider-Man and having a fairly hot Aunt May there. But no, see that? I think,
oh, she's definitely hot, and I think it's a great thing for
well, yeah. I'm all for it, you know.
About tire treads too.
Oh my! all I can say is it's an interest. Hopefully, they do not decide to look at Joe Pesci for Uncle Ben. I think this is edgy enough. I really can't say, but I like Marissa Tomei. I always have, and I think it's. You know, considering we're going with the younger Spider-Man, I don't know. I like the idea of a younger Aunt May. The whole old Aunt May always kind of bothered me. I'm like, how old were your parents when they had you, Pete? I'm just, you know.
Who's to say that the Parker family didn't have like 7 children and the Aunt May is the only sole survivor?
I read
according to one of the
kids.
Wow.
We have broken the internet.
I think we've broken Kylan's internet anyway.
Yeah, I'm like, so Marissa Tomei is Aunt May. Hey, there.
No, I'm totally with you.
Wow.
I'm totally with you on it's a good change to make Aunt May younger. Because, I mean, you're right. Because back when in the 60s when Spider-Man first came out, you had Aunt May and Uncle Ben who looked rather geriatric.
Yes.
And kind of like, well, Spider-Man is in high school. Just, I mean, it wasn't like Aunt May is great Aunt May.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I really didn't stop and think about it until I got older. You really kind of start looking at, you know, family relations. I'm thinking an old, I'm like, unless, like you said, I don't know, the Parker family, I don't know, they had got crazy one night and all of a sudden, you know, there's 40-year-old Aunt May. Next you know, she's got a little sister. I don't know, but I think this is a little bit more in line with, I guess, a realistic portrayal of a family member for Peter, I'm thinking.
And this is not to say,
at least in my mind,
at least updated.
Yeah. This is not to say, though, that
yes,
they're not going to try to age her up just a little.
Not a post. Yeah. Joe Pesci has anything to say with it.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, I mean, they kind of, I mean, when we had Sally Field as Aunt May, that was an interesting choice too. But then again, Sally Field was 70.
Yeah, Sally Field is getting old. I mean, she is no longer the little sprite frog from Smokey and the Bandit.
But you know, she still doesn't look 70, though.
No, she doesn't. You know, she kind of could. She could pull off. I don't know. I may be a little forgiving, but I could give her late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
And so I was okay with that, but I don't know.
Well,
guys.
Yes.
On December 4th, she will turn 51.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's actually...
Ming-Na Wen.
She's had a good... Ming-Na Wen, 50. It's the age of the hot 50-year-olds on in Marvel movies and
now,
TV.
Now, I'm going to drop that bomb. Well, not the bomb. I'm going to drop the mic again, like I've done many times in the past. Marissa Tomei, Now, just hang with me here. Marissa Tomei, in that solo film that they wanted to do, that Sony wanted to do, about Aunt May, and it's Agent May. The agent, yeah, when they pulled the agent, you know, Aunt May was an agent or a superhero or whatever in the comics.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That would put her at a right thing for that.
Yeah.
That's well.
No. And, you know, we don't know a whole lot about Aunt May's past.
True, true. And they got always go Tron Jeff Bridges or Tron Legacy Jeff Bridges all on her, too, and make her younger digitally.
Well,
that's
for
true.
Some of that.
Yeah. But at the same time, though, I like the idea of an Aunt May that has a more exciting past that you only see glimpses of, kind of like Shepherd Book off of Firefly.
Yeah.
Here he is. He's an old guy. He's clergy, but he knows an awful lot about the criminal scene.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, how do you know that?
Because he was playing poker or playing cards with Lando and Han.
Yeah, I know. But see, the thing is, like, I like the idea.
We're going to see that in the Lando comics.
I like the idea of bringing in the Agent May of Aunt May.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I really hope that happens.
Well, I'm going to use that as a nice segue because I'm hoping this happens. And that is, over with Deadline, they interviewed Wesley Snipes about his new TV series, The Player. He also opened up about his future with Marvel Studios and revealed something very interesting. He's already had talks about returning as Blade.
Yes.
That Blade. Doesn't suck. That does not suck.
No. Pun intended. Total lack of suckitude on that one.
You know, of course, Marvel Studios received the rights back for Blade and Ghost Rider a couple of years ago. Right. And then there's been rumors circling that the character could appear on a second run of Netflix series along with other Midnight Suns characters like
Ghost Rider.
Like Ghost Rider. There's someone else besides Blade.
Punisher?
Possibly Punisher as well, yeah.
Moon Knight
would be great to see.
I would love Moon Knight, but Moon Knight, I don't believe we will ever see Moon Knight unless we see him in a Netflix show. We're not going to see Moon Knight.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
Now, Doctor Strange.
But we're going to see that in the movie.
Doctor Strange was a Midnight Sun, though.
True, true.
Morbius.
Ooh.
Morbius could be. I mean, they did Dark Shadows way back when. There was a Dracula TV series way back when. Why not?
Right.
Blade 4 is controlled by Marvel. And according to Snipes, this is a quote from him, Blade 4 is controlled by Marvel, and we did have a really productive and wonderful meeting, and we discussed a number of things. I don't know where it's at on their schedule at this point. That hasn't been decided. I guess it's still up in the air. His thing is, coming into the Marvel Cinematic Universe another way is a possibility too, the actor said. I've always been a fan of these pieces and adaptations, and it'd be nice to be a part of the family again. But if we don't do a Blade 4 or something else with Marvel, or we will do something else. So, strong possibilities. I would love to see Wesley Snipes go, instead of cinematic, do the TV series or Netflix series.
A Blade series on Netflix would be awesome.
Because the Blade series that was on Spike stunk.
The first episode, or I guess actually that was a movie. It was like a 2-hour.
Yeah.
That was so good, and it felt like Blade. But after that, that was it. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
I do have the question, though. Is Wesley Snipes still young enough to do this? Because Blade Trinity was the last Blade movie. That was in 2004. That was 11 years ago.
Well, it depends on. Well, I mean, he just did Expendables 3.
Yeah,
and he looked. I saw Expendables 3. I loved it. He still has it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I would like to see him come back as Blade, even if he doesn't get his own series, and even if he doesn't like get his own movie. It would be neat to see him show up in one of these other years, like to see him come in Doctor Strange. Perfect setup for Midnight Suns.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah. And who's to say that you couldn't do a Midnight Sun series and say you go 14 episodes, 7 are Blades, 7 are Ghost Rider, and it alternates weeks or alternates, you know, or there's a two-part story arc, you know, that might involve both of them, you know, with some crossover between the two. I mean, I think there's a lot possible.
There is.
Yeah. So,
there is.
Before we take a break, I guess we could do a little Comic-Con teaser, because I know Marvel did a teaser for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. poster, or with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3 poster.
Yes.
Let's quickly touch on that real quick before we take a break.
Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con came out. There was the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book poster that was, in essence, a teaser for Season 3. Now, when you look at it, well, we all remember what happened in the season finale. Agent Coulson ended up losing his hand. And he mentioned something about maybe there being somebody will give him some type of replacement. Well, we see the replacement. It is a robotic bionic hand. And we see Lola there, and Lola is actually featured prominently. And it's one of the more interesting aspects of the cover is Bobby Morse is at the forefront of the agents. And
she's also the only one outside the circle.
That is true. She is the only one outside of the circle. And there were still some trust issues there. In relation to, you know, the events leading up to the season finale. So I would expect that we're still going to be seeing repercussions from that. And also we have Sky prominently in the background of the poster.
Right.
So I'm thinking that we're going to see a lot of, we touched on this last week. We already know that we're going to see the Secret Warriors. And I believe that, you know, with Sky being prominently in the background, you kind of touch on that. But it seems like it's going to be interesting to see that there's going to be other characters that interacting that didn't feature as, you know, big in the second season that we're going to see in the third season, along with the events leading up to the Civil War. And Eric, is that a bus that I think I'm seeing there, or is that a Quinjet?
It looks to me, it's definitely a Quinjet. So it's not a bus. It's a Quinjet like what we're used to seeing from S.H.I.E.L.D. and now also Hydra. But it looks like it is firing on Lola. So it could be, that could be a plot point in season 3 where, oh my, there's yet another splinter faction of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Enemy Within storyline gets done again.
Right.
And you notice right next to the Quinjet, there's Babyface Grant Ward, which is going to make all the Ward Warriors happy, I'm sure.
Poor misunderstood Grant.
Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. Really? It's my family that made me a psycho. I'm just a goodie.
Yeah. Fitz really should have. You know, you would think S.H.I.E.L.D. has a better health and benefits plan. Hydra didn't offer that. I mean, why would he pick? That's another discussion for another time.
Yeah. but if you also notice, speaking of Fitz, look who's right next to Fitz. Simmons.
Yeah. So we know she survives.
As what? Right. We don't know.
And who is that to Coulson's left?
That's looking above, like Lincoln to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, so we know he's still hanging around at the end of season 2.
I have a soundbite from Simmons.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, at least it wasn't the artifact belching. Yeah.
That was wow. You broke my brain again. But This poster, though, for it to be a teaser, it's screaming volumes, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's teasing a heck of a lot.
It is. And it's going to be interesting, you know, speaking of Babyface Ward there, with him having to scrape the bottom of the barrel to rebuild Hydra. You know, it's a sad, you know, state of affairs when you're having to turn to bikers and gang members to help rebuild a worldwide crime and anti-intelligence organization.
Just do you terrorist remember, organization. You remember the good old days of Hydra when, you know, the Red Skull declared his independence from Hitler and had that bomber that was just about ready, that could circle the globe and drop a nuke on any city on Earth.
Yeah.
Those were the good old days. The Red Skull would not be happy to see to see Ward's biker Hydra organization.
True.
I'm, you know, at least when Coulson had to rebuild, okay, true, you know, he had to rebuild out of an old SSR base, but at least he had, you know, he still had some decent agents out there to help him. He wasn't like looking at Boy Scout troops or...
Yeah. Although, in all fairness, they were operating out of a flea bag hotel at one point.
Hey. Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Keep Jared out of this.
Like, hiding out in the hotel. Yeah.
But you know what? There was something kind of cool about having to be down and dirty and, you know, bargain basement, but still being able to save the world somewhat.
Yeah.
It was because they had Lola.
Ah, Lola.
They had Lola and they had pizza delivered.
And, you know, if you have Lola and you have no pizza delivered, what else do you need besides a bus?
Just ask the Knack. Or the Kinks. I'm sorry, the Kinks. God.
No, you're thinking of Sharona.
Yeah, that's Sharona.
Maybe that's what they need to name one of the Quinjets. You know, you have Lola and Sharona. And
oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be.
That's right. I mean, yes, the Knack did Sharona, but the Kinks did Lola.
Yes, they did.
So.
And Fleetwood Mac had Rhiannon. Not that has anything to do with any of this.
I got nothing.
Well, how about this? This comes from thegeeko.com. They have news about Disney and XD announcing that a sneak peek of Marvel's Guardian of the Galaxy will air September 5th on Disney XD.
Including their ship, the Milano.
Yes.
Named after Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Nothing wrong with that.
So we have the convention continuing.
Yes, we do.
Now, the official premiere of the show will be on September 26th. And if this seems too far away, well, in August, Disney XD will air 5 two-part shorts, each based on a different Guardian character. Can't keep it straight? Well, check out the Geeko.com site for the schedule. August 1st through 29th, each Saturday will be, starting August 1st, will be Star-Lord Part 1 at 8:58 p.m. with Part 2 at 10:28 p.m. Eastern Time.
Isn't this past the kids' bedtime?
Yes. Now, that's just Star-Lord. Groot is 8:58 p.m. Part 1 and 9:58 p.m. Part 2. And those times are going to be the same for Rocket Raccoon, Drax, and Gamora. Now,
okay.
Disney XD plans to debut the sneak peek at the first episode on September 5th, Saturday, September 5th, at 9 p.m.
Hmm.
Again, that's Eastern, right?
Eastern. Still a little late,
mm-hmm.
especially since the Marvel block is in the morning, between 8 and 10? Right. 8 and 9:30, something like that?
Yeah, but you, then again, you know, this may be a good way for them to pull the parents in. I mean, because think about it. The whole Guardians of the Galaxy movie with the soundtrack was a hook for every late 30s. 40-something and older that even spent 12 minutes listening to a radio. That soundtrack pulled you in and it became a character itself. And, you know, there seems like a lot of the people who aren't necessarily comic book fans thoroughly enjoy. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. You know, the people who aren't even comic book fans love Guardians of the Galaxy. And, you know, we're talking, 9, 10 o'clock at night. You know, that's a good way to pull in the adults. And, See, now guess what's going to go in heavy, back in heavy rotation in the Kylan Mobile? You know, in fact, I would tell you, I had a coworker. I was playing the soundtrack, and a coworker just kept going by my desk, and they're like, "What CD is that? I'm loving it." I'm like, "It's the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack." And her jaw hit the floor. Because it was a soundtrack from a superhero movie. I said, "I told you, you need to buy this soundtrack. Why don't you listen to me for once?"
And it's and the thing is about Guardians of the Galaxy, it's not a superhero movie.
Really, it's not.
I was talking to this with this guy at work. He's a professor. He's a university professor,
right?
And he said, "Well, it really didn't appeal to me. It didn't look like it would appeal to me because I really don't do superhero movies that much." I said, "Dude, it's not a superhero movie. It's like the Dirty Dozen in space."
Yeah,
exactly.
And he said,
"Exactly.
You're kidding." I said, "No, it really is." He said, "Okay, I got to go watch it now." So,
Well, I was going to say, the 1 hour premiere is going to end up being September 26th, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. So,
well, good deal. So set your DVRs, folks. Or if you don't have a DVR like me, just set your butt down on the couch and get to watch it.
But also, too, go out and find, I think it's on YouTube, the New York Comic Con test footage is finally out. And I know I saw it, and oh man, it looks wonderful. I'm really digging, even based on the poster, I'm digging the artwork.
Yeah,
it looks so good.
And I love the caption: "We're back. You're welcome."
Yes. Now there was some images that I had seen on the internet somewhere about like early versions, almost like a Japanese animation version.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was not a fan of the way they had done Rocket. But this look, I'm digging this look of everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of... When they appeared on Ultimate Spider-Man, I was okay with that. I was okay with it, but it seemed, I don't know what it is about the style that for some reason the animation style this time around just grabbed me. It really grabbed me this time. I don't know.
Yeah. But somebody else is coming back. I'm going to let Eric pick this one up.
That would be Daredevil because... Yes. Yes, proof positive. I mean, this people had their doubts about, you know,
"Oh, you can't put superheroes on Netflix. Nobody will watch it." It's like, yeah.
So,
wow.
So we first off, we heard, yes, it's coming back for a second season. And then we heard about former Walking Dead actor John Bernthal coming back, but being introduced in season two of Daredevil as the Punisher. And again, hearkening back to an earlier conversation in the show, what's one of Marvel's strengths? Casting. Because this guy just looks like he could so totally rock Punisher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, another, what I think is probably a really good choice. Daredevil is casting Elodie Young as Elektra.
AKA Jinx from G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yes.
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 Perfect. I mean,
she hasn't been in much America television and film, but outside of G.I. Joe Retaliation, first of all, she's French. So, you know, she's been kind of over in Europe more so than that. Marvel TV head Joseph Loeb said in a statement, quote, "After a worldwide search, we found in Elodie the perfect actress to embody both Elektra's impressive and deadly physicality as well as her psychological complexity." It's putting it rather nicely, don't you think? Paired with Charlie as Matt Murdock, the two will bring one of the most beloved and tumultuous comic book relationships to life with all the accompanying sparks and spectacular action sequences the show is known for.
I think that we just may as well like create a fan page for Elektra and Matt and just put a big old it's complicated across.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
A heart with a sigh through it, you know.
One of my favorite scenes, I don't know if either of you have read Daredevil Man Without Fear by Frank Miller.
It's been a while.
One of my favorite scenes is when Matt is in college and he's talking about his relationship with Elektra. And there's this one scene where one panel, he's sitting on the floor with her and they're talking. And in the next panel, the entire room is wrecked. And there they are laying together. together. And yeah. I'm just like, that was like the, like that, that's them. That, those two panels was the entire relationship.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a love-hate relationship. It really is. And this is going to be, I think this just has the feel of they're pulling from Frank Miller's storyline material for season two.
Yes.
Because you're pretty much going to, you know you're going to have Punisher versus Daredevil. You know you're going to have Elektra versus Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. The only one missing, that's because, you know, Jason Statham pulled himself off after all the internet hoo-ha, is Bullseye.
Yeah.
That'll come. I almost guarantee you there will be a season three. I'm going to go ahead and call it season three Netflix, going to happen.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of time for them to bring in a Bullseye at that point.
Well, at this point in time, they might as well call Daredevil season two, Bang a Gong, Pull a Gun, Sigh, I'm Gone.
You are determined to bring out the classic rock innuendos, aren't you?
What?
Well, incorporate Punisher, incorporate the Frank Miller scene, and incorporate Elektra. Hey.
Yep. Wow, yeah.
But for those of you playing along at home... The last time that we saw Elektra on any kind of screen, pretty much, was in 2005 with Jennifer Garner, who played Elektra then, which was a sequel pretty much to the 2003 Daredevil.
Which I didn't mind that Daredevil movie, but Elektra, oh my God, no.
I really can't talk about the Daredevil movie here. I really can't. And, Daredevil is on my super short list of, superheroes. Like I love Daredevil, and that was one of the few movies that I walked out mad. And then I think I may have walked out just a little bit madder when I saw Elektra. Mm. I'm pretty sure I did. Maybe just a little bit madder.
Now I will say one thing I did really like about the Daredevil movie.
Okay.
Michael Clark Duncan as Wilson Fisk.
That was spot on. I will say that.
Yes. I mean, he had the personality nailed.
Yeah.
And plus, Duncan just had the physicality. Now, you can't have somebody with the real Kingpin's physique.
No.
You could. I saw it at convention cosplayers, and this guy was not padded. I mean, he was.
Oh, was it? Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it could be done.
Okay. Okay, if you're saying it could be done.
Oh, it could be done.
Oh, that I want to see this guy. I would love to see this guy because we all know how big he is supposed to be.
He's a sumo in an expensive suit.
Yes. Although, the funny thing is, like, according to Marvel, Marvel Encyclopedia? What was the series of comics where?
Oh, the official handbook to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, according to the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, because I remember reading this about Kingpin, because I thought he was just a big old blob. According to the book, that's all muscle.
Yeah,
it's not muscle. I mean, it may not be flab. It may not be flab, but it is not. It's not muscle.
No, I didn't. I'm like, well, why are you drawing him the way you're drawing him if it's all muscle, you know? But I could see him being a very big man, a very solid man. But
yeah, he's definitely solid.
Yeah, but that wasn't muscle to me. But so yeah, that was. I did like Michael Clark Duncan. That was probably the one. I liked Bullseye.
Yes. He's not bad. Not bad there.
But that was pretty much it for me. No, I didn't get Stick. I really wanted Stick, and I didn't get Stick in that movie.
No.
You know.
So yeah. See, I'm looking up. I'm trying to see what the official Marvel sites are saying about, you know, about his height and weight and stuff like that. I'm not seeing anything.
Yeah, you know. I wonder. I mean, somebody have all of those online, and it seemed like there may have been one strictly for the villains. May have been one strictly for villains, though.
Okay, I'm seeing one for Ultimate Kingpin.
Right.
To where it says that he is 6'7". Makes sense.
Okay.
500 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean that sounds good to me.
That I would.
He is huge. And he's not, I say it's not flab because he does know he can't handle himself in a fist fight.
Yes, he can.
On that note, before we get too far ahead, if I can find my cueing, which I can't, there we go. It is time for New Comic Book Day, our picks.
Yay!
And this is going to be for July 15th. And Eric, since you weren't here last week, I'll let you go first.
Okay. I am going to go. My first pick is the latest in a series that I have been picking, which is Planet Hulk number 3, written by Sam Humphries, penciled by Mark Laming, and cover artist Michael Del Mundo. Will the deadly land of Hulks finally break Gladiator Steve Rogers? Can Steve Rogers rescue Bucky before the Red King sentences him to death? Can even the powerful Doc Green protect Steve and Devil Dinosaur as the trio take a perilous shortcut to the Mud Kingdom? Vast cemeteries, a valley of skulls and bones, tribal soldiers, and deadly spears that can pierce any hide. This book may be too dangerous to read.
I'll take that chance.
I am too, because I'm digging this concept. Captain America riding a dinosaur. Your argument is invalid.
Kylan, your number one pick.
My number one pick is Hawkeye, number 22. Now, apparently, I lucked out with a intern that just had no interest at all, because there's absolutely nothing written about this book. Outside of the cover artist is David Aja. But yeah, this and Matt Fraction. That's pretty much all I got. The thing is, I like Hawkeye. So I would totally pick this book. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that, because there's just nothing to share about it.
No. You got to do your Forrest Gump voice. That's all I got to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that.
Better.
I do see a shirt, a Hawkeye tunic shirt or something on a clothesline on top of a building. And it looked like I see Jenny.
Are they shrimping?
Oh, there's all kinds of shrimp. There's boiled shrimp, fried shrimp, French shrimp scampi, pineapple shrimp, shrimp a la mode, shrimp pizza.
Shrimp arrows.
Shrimp arrows. Shrimp arrows. Oh.
Shrimp arrow kebab.
Is that like one of the trick arrows?
They tend to tell you that that's his shrimp and arrow.
So I can speed this process along. My first pick for the week is Ant-Man Annual number 1, just in time for Ant-Man the movie. Funny that. It's the team-up you've been waiting for. Scott Lang and Hank Pym, together again. Ant Bros. A classic villain makes his dreaded return, and a new hero is born. Well, not born, really. He's already an adult. Nobody wants to read about a super baby, or do they?
Did you just say Ant Bros?
Ant Bros.
That's gotta be the title of this issue. Ant Bros.
Ant Bros. I like it.
Ant Bros broke the internet.
Ant Bros. I just pictured the two of them high fiving now.
High fiving on the back of an ant or something. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So number two picks.
Awesome. My second pick of the week is Thor's 2015 number 2. Cover artist Chris Sprouse. The saga of the Battleworld Police Force continues. More murders, more mystery, more Thors. And this is why I picked this one. Two words. Groot Thor. I'm not making this up. This is actually what the intern wrote. Groot Thor. And maybe even a break in the case as a surprising suspect is brought in for questioning.
Ant Bros.
Ant Bros and Groot Thor.
That's the name. That's the name right there.
There it is. Ant Bros. Yeah. And Groot Thor.
Now brewing. So, Kyle, wow. your number two pick.
My number two pick is, as if this will be any surprise, Moon Knight, number 17.
No. Sorry.
Say it ain't so.
Go figure. Terror at the Church of Khonshu. Moon Knight must infiltrate the church of the god who empowered him in the first place. And, you know, number one, it's interesting to me that there is actually a church of Khonshu. I didn't know that old Egyptian gods actually had churches, so there's the Church of the Poison Mind, because I had to make an 80s song reference. But, yeah. I am a fan of Moon Knight, and I really loved it when he embraced the whole Fist of Khonshu mantle. So that kind of that's making this book really attractive to me. So yeah, this would definitely be on the pull list for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
My second pick is how can you not?
Hail Hydra. Hail Hydra.
Number one.
That's the great thing. You don't even have to say the name. You just play the clip.
There
you go. Play the clip. Peace through strength, honor and obedience. Honor through obedience, continuance through conformity. Hail Hydra, immortal Hydra. We shall be destroyed. Cut one limb, and two shall take its place. We serve none but the master, as the world shall soon serve us. It is a beautiful utopia that Hydra has created. But when a lone figure from outside the regime appears, could his very presence be enough to bring this perfect society to its ruin? And I couldn't figure out exactly if that character was Cap, but he has Cap's shield on the cover. This piques my interest.
I was about to say, could it be Bucky? But no, it may not be Bucky because, well, all right, here's the question. Steve Rogers is off riding Devil Dinosaur in Planet Hulk.
Right.
Bucky is off with a group of villains looking for, who was it, for Magneto or Doctor Doom?
Right.
So who would this person be?
This is true.
It's
not Wilson.
No, because this looks like a white guy. I can get the cover to pull up. But, I mean, whoever it is, you're right. He does have Cap shield. So I'm almost wondering if this is one of the, either A, one of the former Captain Americas, or Vance Astro.
Could be.
You think like one of the original Guardians of the Galaxy? Because Captain America was his hero. And in the comics, even though he's in the 31st century, he has Cap's shield.
Oh,
I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. So there's a thought, but you know what? We'll just have to pick up the cook and see.
Yep. So number three pick.
My number three pick is Armor Wars number three, with cover artist Paul Revoche. Who killed Spider-Man? Well, this would be Spider-Man with a Y. Jim Rhodes' investigation of the murder of one of Technopolis's few superheroes takes an unexpected and dangerous turn. What kind of ramifications will the plans and machinations of Arno Stark and the Kingpin have on Baron Tony Stark? As Kiri fights through her grief by continuing her work on new armored creations, we see how they may change the face of Technopolis and beyond forever.
Interesting.
And there's a variant cover on this one by Alex Maleev. It looks kind of like just like a cityscape. I gotta be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of it. I like Paul's version better. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
So Kylan, your number three pick.
My number three pick is Captain Britain and the Mighty Defenders number one. Writer is Al Ewing. Penciler is Alan Davis, and the cover artist is Alan Davis. Welcome to Battle World, where, in what's left of Mondo City 1, Boss Cage is the law. When the fascist Futuropolis and annexes neighboring Yinsen City, who'll stand up for Ho Yinsen's dream of universal peace? If you like the Mighty Avengers, you'll love the Mighty Defenders. This is an interesting cover for me. She-Hulk figures prominently, and in the background, you see, and I'm guessing this may be Captain Britain standing in the background. There's someone in the shadows with red eyes, but it's sort of, if they were, you know, it could be Captain Britain. I don't know. And it looks like that we see Spider-Man or a Spider-Man type character, because there's somebody who's in a cloak. It's like a Spider-Man type cloak. And White Tiger. That looks like White Tiger.
Yeah.
Which I think it's interesting that they're they're bringing White Tiger in on it. And looking at the variant really interests me. You know, it looks like a dark version. Captain Britain is, you know, figure prominently, but that's about it. There's nothing really special about it. Thing is, I like the character Captain Britain. I'm a fan of the Defenders, so you know this will just automatically just bring me in anyway. So yeah.
And who'd you say was the penciler on that?
Alan Davis. He's a penciler and the cover artist.
I loved his work on Captain Britain when he was doing the penciling job on Excalibur.
Yes. Yeah. Captain Britain was a character that I really didn't care for until Excalibur.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that book.
Well, I'm going to wrap up the picks this week with Darth Vader #8. And I've been digging this series so far. Bounty Hunters on the Attack Against the Empire. Darth Vader and Aphra continue their alliance, but how long will it last? And you kind of saw in the last issue why Vader, you know, Vader's motivation behind turning against the Emperor, you know, when he finds out he has a son.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole revelation. So I'd be curious to see how #8 continues that plot.
Just that one page where Fett's in there and he says, you know, I got the name of the kid, Skywalker. And that was it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, after Fett walks off, and you just see the flashbacks.
Yep, yep.
That put chills. That gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to wrap it up for this week. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter at Marvel Geeks on Twitter. Of course, you can find our Twitter information in the show notes at Mighty Marvel Geeks on Facebook. Other than that, if you guys have a book or a title that you want to see us cover, feel free to email us at mmg@weebiegeeks.net, and we'll list your picks for whatever week that they're related to. So until next time, anyone else have anything?
Nope, I'm good.
I'm good here too.
Then Jarvis, if you will, please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope, just time to go dark.
We'll be right back.